there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
And so we're going to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the Word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as we go through your word today, that you enlighten our minds, that you illuminate word to our minds, hearts, and souls, that we may be changed to be more like Jesus Christ, that we may be changed because we have the power of the Holy Spirit that does dwell in believers and help us make this a reality in our lives. Holy Spirit, only you can do this. We wait for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about a couple things before we get into the scripture passage. My second son graduated, and he had a baccalaureate. Baccalaureate dates way back, and it was intended to be a Christian service, blessing the graduates as they went out into life, and it was done certainly only in a Christian way. Well, but let me tell you what happened. And in the baccalaureate service, there was a table out front, almost set up like an altar, with about 8 different candles, little candles lit, and a big candle in the middle. And so the president of the college calls down various people. They called down a Protestant, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and they called down a Muslim, Buddhist, a Hindu, American Indian, and then the last one, they called down a secular humanist, which is the substitute for atheist. Now, what is one supposed to make of that in a Christian church? So as the president went on and she was introducing the speaker was a woman who had a PhD in biology and oceanography and a very educated person. In the 70s, late 70s into the early 80s, she left the educational side of things and became an Episcopal priest. She was actually grew to be, you know, very successful in the Episcopal Church. She's a presiding bishop. and was very much in tune with the ceremony that went on beforehand. Have you all heard of the term syncretism? Syncretism means that it's kind of the idea, if you've ever seen the bumper sticker, there's a cross and there's a Jewish star, crescent moon of Islam, peace sign, and it says coexist. Have you ever seen that? Well, that's what syncretism is. It's this idea that we can combine religions and take what's good from each of them. And after all, they all are pretty much the same and only differ around the edges. And you know, as long as I've been preaching here, that I think it's exactly the opposite, that they're all pretty much different and only agree around the edges. What ends up happening when you have syncretism of religion, as we have today in the United States, I believe, is you have a totally watered down spiritual identity of this country now that pretty much has been melted down to meaninglessness. Now, we wonder why we have such a problem in our society. And I think this is the very root of it. And so the lady begins to speak, and she basically was putting forth the message that it's transformational learning that we're involved in, that we shouldn't have absolute truth that we believe in and try to convince somebody else of it. Instead, we should engage each other in conversation, and you know, you tell me your truth, I tell you my truth, and you know, maybe we can come to this new truth. In other words, there's no absolute truth. So she goes on, and she talks about Jesus now. And she said, Jesus had a dream. And she referred back to the scripture that is read. Now, I want to read this scripture, and you in your mind, the understanding, you've been here, you've heard me preach, you've been to Bible studies, you hopefully know what this scripture passage means. It's from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus talking in the synagogue, when he opens up the scroll and he reads in the synagogue. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of our Lord. And that's quotation from Isaiah. She said that what this means simply is that Jesus had a dream that there would be no more poor people, that there would be no more prisoners, that our prison system would be empty of people, that blindness would actually be cured by the medical society, in other words. And at the end of this, talking about scripture, she said, and Jesus was crucified for his deeply held dreams. Jesus was here. I can't help to think that he would stand up and point, you brood of vipers, out of your mouth comes the evil of your heart. That you are showing and sharing with people something totally apart from what is in scripture. Jesus didn't have a dream of no more poor people. No, he had a mission to save. That the gospel message wasn't that there would be no more poor people, that the gospel message that he would die on the cross for our sins. That through him we would be saved and raised to new life. The recovery of the sight of the blind was that so people could take off their blinders and see and believe in Jesus Christ as the gospel message was given to those. The prisoners who would be set free were prisoners who were imprisoned in the bondage of sin in their lives. I was reminded of the second chapter of Corinthians, and I thought, she doesn't know what Scripture says. And I kind of felt sad about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him or her. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." If the Holy Spirit does not indwell your heart, you will not have an appropriate understanding of Scripture. You won't, and you can't. You can't intellectualize Scripture without the power of the Holy Spirit to understand what it says. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is a person and is an abiding power that leads you, the church, the body of Christ, to witness and to testify the gospel of Jesus. The most important supernatural gift that God has given the church is that by which nothing else could possibly be accomplished and the gospel never spread: the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Your soul on fire. Let's just look real quickly through Scripture here in the New Testament about the idea of the third person of the Trinity and how the Holy Spirit is integral to the work of Christ. Number one, he was responsible for the supernatural birth of Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, "For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." John proclaims, "One who is coming who will baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit." In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "One is coming who's mightier than I," John the Baptist says. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He was there at Jesus' baptism. In Luke chapter 3, 21, 20, "The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And it filled him, and it led him." In Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Jesus returns to Galilee full of power in Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus proclaimed the prophecy of the Spirit who anointed his ministry. He was anointed with the Spirit in order to proclaim the gospel to all. In the passage that I read, Luke 4, 17 and 19, "The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.'" In Matthew 12, 17, he goes further, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, 'I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles.'" The Holy Spirit was not to be spoken against in Matthew 12, "But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven of him." Jesus sends the disciples and promises the Holy Spirit will speak for them. "Don't worry beforehand about what you are to say," Jesus tells his disciples, "for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit." Going further, Jesus speaks of the necessity of the Holy Spirit in being born again in John 3, verse 3 and 5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Furthermore, Jesus promises to send the person of the Holy Spirit in a new way. In John 14, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Not another force, not another thing, a helper, a person, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, it does not know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Furthermore, in John 14, 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." The Holy Spirit is given in order that we might testify the truth of Christ. In John 15, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me, and you will testify also. In chapter 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Jesus even submits to death on the cross through the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 9, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? And lastly, in the life of Christ, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and he raises you to new life. Romans chapter 8, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is immense and it is awesome, and he dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is integral in the work of Christ. It cannot be done without him. The risen Lord, who now was raised in this power by the power of the Holy Spirit, walked among his disciples. For 40 days after Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, he walked among his disciples. Then he ascended into heaven. Before he left them, we all remember this verse, he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Gathering them together, he commanded them in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father has promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the disciples obeyed Jesus and were in Jerusalem on the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection. And we reach Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem on the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, which in Greek means 50. It was the Feast of Weeks. It was one of the three Hebrew feasts that you were to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for. And it celebrated the beginning of the summer harvest. It was a time when the first fruits of the summer harvest were offered. So there would have been a multitude of people in and around Jerusalem. And so now the disciples knew, because of what Jesus had told them, that something was about to happen within a short time after Jesus ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Jesus promised that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, this to the apostles had to be somewhat nebulous language. Something was about to happen that was above and beyond what they were expecting. Something supernatural was about to happen. In verses 2 through 4, we read that suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. And so the promise that Jesus made to them of the Holy Spirit who would come from the Father was realized, and the power of the Holy Spirit was upon them, and the power of the Holy Spirit was in them. Now, I want you to understand this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is related to the baptism of Jesus. We've heard from various scriptures that I had read that Jesus was baptized into his ministry in the power and filling of the Holy Spirit, right? And so the body of Christ, which was baptized by John the Baptist, I mean the literal body of Christ, is also the body of Christ, the church. It is anointed and baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is empowered then to proclaim the truth of the gospel. This is what happened 2,000 years ago. The church is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within its members. And so when the Holy Spirit indwelt the disciples in the upper room, what did they do? In verses 5 through 11, now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. See, people were gathered there from all over, from northern Africa, from Asia, through Turkey and Greece and Rome, and they heard the message of the gospel in their own language. The church, the body of Christ, was anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the same today as it was back then. The church is made up, is genuinely made up of all who hear the gospel, all who accept the gospel message of belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and all who believe the message of the gospel. And it's kind of interesting to me that when people are confronted with the gospel message, they react in the same way today as they did back then. In Acts 2, 12 to 13, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And I like this verse 13. But others sneered and said, they're filled with new wine. You don't know what you're talking about. Some, when they hear the gospel, are amazed, and some sneer. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. The first major sermon in church history was about to happen by the Apostle Peter, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter preached his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40 following. And as he summed up his sermon, Peter says to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, beloved, is just as supernatural today as it was 2,000 years ago. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit to believers changes your life. It is supernatural. So in conclusion then, the church was anointed into service by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the abiding power of the Holy Spirit leads you, the church, the body of Christ, to witness and testify the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit who enabled the disciples to fulfill God's plan is at work in you today. God will make you able to do the impossible when you are in His will, walking the footsteps of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.